Hello, welcome to a podcast for The Lancet Oncology. I'm Gavin Cleaver. It's February 2020. We're going to be talking today about the Cisaqual Consortium. I'm very pleased to be joined on the line by Madeline Pei and Cornel Coens. Madeline, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so my name is Madeline Pei, and I work at the European Organization for Research and Treatment of Cancer, or EORTC, as a specialist in quality of life. My background training is in psychology with a focus on research methodology and statistics. And at EORTC, my work focuses on improving how we assess patient-reported outcomes and quality of life in cancer clinical trials. So I have been involved in Cisaqual since it started and have been one of its scientific leads. And Cornel and I will be talking more about Cisaqual today.
Yes, and I am Cornel Coens. I'm a lead statistician and colleague of Madeline at the EORTC. So the EORTC runs cancer clinical trials, and as a statistician, I'm involved in design, conduct, analysis, and reporting of those studies. And just as Madeline, I'm also specialized in quality of life.
Fantastic, and it's I'm really pleased to have you both joining us today. It's great to chat with you. So, Cornel, perhaps we can kick off by you giving us a little bit of background about the Cisaqual story. What was the kind of rationale behind its formation, and what are some of the main goals?
Well, the main goal is that Cisaqual has mainly to do with patient-reported outcomes, so the use of quality-of-life questionnaires in cancer clinical trials. These are being increasingly used over the last decades, and it's a sort of drive to have the patient more in the center of cancer research. Now, as a statistician, I might say a little bit cynically that my goal was to make my life easier, because if you look at the current guidelines, there's a lot of focus on questionnaire development and also on questionnaire reporting, but there's very little, in fact, on how to analyze the actual data that stems from these questionnaires. And that's a little bit of a problem because with a lack of standards, we get a vast heterogeneity in reporting, which means that for clinicians, but also other stakeholders, I'm thinking even about just simple patients who go through the literature, it's very difficult to make head or tails of certain results. And that leads to a huge amount of research waste. So we brought various stakeholders together. We asked them about their expectations about patient-reported outcome data. And we used those to try and build a consensus on quality of life patient-reported outcome analysis guidelines.
So we're very pleased to have your new policy review. Madeline, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about some of the research objectives arising from that.
One of the critical gaps that we clearly identified in Cisaqual is the lack of well-defined PRO objectives in cancer clinical trials, which leads to an unclear interpretation of how PROs will be assessed in a trial. So, for example, you can have a trial objective stating that they want to compare a certain treatment versus another treatment on quality of life. But with that kind of objective, you can have two statisticians looking at exactly the same question and coming up with two completely different ways of analyzing the data and having different and sometimes even opposing results. To ensure that everyone is asking the same question, the Cisaqual Consortium developed recommendations on how to develop well-defined PRO objectives so it can be aligned with the statistical method that will be used. And therefore, we will have results that actually respond to the PRO question that we intended to ask in the first place. We received early feedback that the Cisaqual recommendations can potentially be technical for non-statisticians. So we developed an interactive web tool on the Cisaqual website to also provide a user-friendly way of applying these recommendations, especially since the goal is to have these recommendations used by individuals with various expertise. So we also encourage everybody to check the website and provide comments on this web tool.
Yes, and if I may add to that, I just want to stress how important it is for researchers to actually get their research question correct at the start. And in many clinical trial protocols, we still often see, you know, we will give the patient questionnaire, we will ask some patient-reported data, but without really any sort of deep underlying assumption, what are we going to actually do with that data? And then as a statistician, you just get a bunch of data without really any plan or any sort of way how to analyze it. So once actually the research question is clearly defined, then we identified a couple of key properties, such as you must have, it must be statistically sound, there must be a comparative part to it, it must be easily interpretable, and we could identify sort of the best statistical method that matches each objective. A simple example, I mentioned clinical relevance. Some techniques will basically express a result simply in a p-value or in a sort of very abstract coefficient estimate. Now, that can go into a report and it might be of, you know, statistical accuracy, but it's often very difficult then for clinicians or patients or other stakeholders such as regulatory agencies or even simple academics to actually interpret what is now the added value, what is the treatment effect that we are seeing, and sort of relate it back to a measure that one can interpret in daily life, such as we have the hazard ratio or median survival time for a normal overall survival.
Yes, of course. So how do these recommendations expand upon the currently available guidelines, like, of course, standard protocol?
So there are current guidelines available like Spirit Pro and Consort Pro, and these initiatives are being coordinated by an excellent team from University of Birmingham, which is led by Professor Melanie Calver. So Spirit Pro and Consort Pro focuses on good reporting standards, both for trial protocols and publications, to allow readers to judge for themselves the robustness of the design, analysis, and interpretation of any PRO endpoint. So CISICAL, on the other hand, is about recommending good methodological practices, and it focuses on improving the methodological quality of our design and analysis. So what we want at the end is that PRO data from trials be analyzed consistently across studies, to ensure that they can meaningfully and reliably inform patient safety, treatment choices, and policy decisions. So the idea is that good quality reporting and good methodology are not interchangeable. And the overarching goal is really to improve both reporting and methodology in PROs and clinical trials. And we know that we should continue to align high quality reporting practices and methodology. And these initiatives should be done in collaboration with each other. So there is now this also excellent initiative called Proteus, which is led by Professors Claire Snyder and Michael Brundage. And Proteus stands for Patient-Reported Outcome Tools, Engaging Users and Stakeholders. And what this multi-stakeholder initiative does is to partner with key stakeholder groups to disseminate and implement tools that have been developed to optimize the use of PROs in clinical trials. So Spirit Pro, Consort Pro, and CISICAL are actually part of this Proteus network, and we are very happy to see how these initiatives are coming together so we can move the PRO field forward.
Well, that's great. So, I mean, now that you've got these recommendations published in The Lancet Oncology, what's next? What's the future for quality of life and patient-reported outcomes in oncology?
If you read the paper, you will actually find a couple of statements and a couple of statements in the paper where it says that there are still a couple of issues unresolved. So there are still a number of topics under discussions where we haven't reached consensus yet. So we want to build on the consortium that we have, try to resolve those. Also, where we have reached consensus, there is still a number of fine-tuning to be done. How do we go about these putting into practice? Some of these proposed techniques might require a sort of shift in the current practice. But I think ultimately the goal of any harmonization guideline is the uptake by the scientific community. So a guideline is only as good as how much it's being used. So we very much want to start pushing these guidelines to become a sort of new standard and to start teaching our clinicians and everybody who's involved with the analysis of patient-reported outcome data, so that I would say these techniques sort of become part of the standard toolbox that is available for all clinicians, statisticians, academics, everybody who's basically involved in patient-reported outcome data in cancer clinical trials. And ultimately, our sort of ultimate objective would be that we come to a place where anybody can open the Lancet Oncology, see a PRO table or graph, and can understand it as easily as they would understand a table on toxicity or a table on overall survival. I think if we can reach that point, I would be a very, very happy statistician. Because it would mean that at that point we have made a huge impact on clinical practice, and ultimately it would lead to a reduction in the current research waste that is still surrounding the PRO field. And dare I say it, it would make my life as a statistician also a little bit easier.
Yeah, and also to add to that, we also see that for the future of PROs in oncology, that, you know, we do hope to see PROs treated with the same importance as other clinical endpoints, and that no one will question anymore whether it is relevant or whether the quality of the findings that they see from PRO data are actually good. And also the patient perspective is now being recognized as critical in the evaluation of risk-benefit of cancer treatment, and it is fantastic to see this within the cancer clinical trial environment. And we see that this will hopefully only continue on onto the future.
Yeah, really important stuff for everyone in the field to think about. So you can read this paper now on thelancet.com and in the February 2020 issue of The Lancet Oncology, which just came out. Dr. Cones, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.